What country did this car from?
It no longer exists, but take her for a test drive, and you'll agree. Zagreb Zlotik je.
Hello and welcome to Bullen H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name is Terry.
My name is Andy.
Andy, how the hell, question mark, are you?
Very question well, mark. Terry, exclamation point. Very well, another exclamation point. And how the hell are you, question mark?
I too am well.
Good to hear it, pal.
Okay.
Good night.
I was trying to think of more punctuation to put in. Doesn't matter.
It's like The Office. Just trying to think of another one. How
good to see you, man.
You too. It's been a while. We don't normally go 2 weeks without actually seeing each other.
Now everything I can't remember.
Some live.
Stained.
The legendary Stained. Yeah. Oh, you Lord. Know it.
I mean, that was a big hit, though.
It was. I actually loved that album, I have to say. But, you know, it was a different time.
Wasn't it something like Fred Durst discovered this band or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, like, I think they were like support. Yeah, I forgot about that, actually.
Yeah, he was there, like, the breakthrough. Yeah. That they knew Fred Durst, or, like, he approved of them.
I tell you what, I have some opinions on Fred Durst. Now, I'll save it
for the Patreon.
In depth. But I tell you what, there's a couple of Fred Durst songs where I'd... Or Limp Bizkit songs, where like it's very obviously like Limp Bizkit are objectively not great, ish. But he's got some good flow on some of those raps. I will say
my face right here would tell you that I do not agree with that statement.
I get it. Anyway, I'm not proclaiming my love for Fred Durst, but it's not as bad as I thought. I'll say that. But
it's weird that like he went from being the hottest. I mean, like, he was everywhere.
Yeah.
Like,
everyone had the red hat, the backwards red
celebrity
hat.
Celebrity to, like, apparently he's a film director now, but
really?
He directs, like, low-budget...
Pornos. X-rated pornos.
Like, low-budget John Travolta movies.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, straight to, like, they're only making this movie so they can launder money through it. The Russian mob is, or something like that. Like, you know, way.
I believe it.
Yeah, but it's just mad how, like, they were everywhere and then they were nowhere.
It was almost like, I remember the
it
big...
It was like everyone in the world was on drugs and then they just all stopped at the exact same
because
time. What were we thinking?
I know. Everyone now, if you look back at, like everyone, that Limp Bizkit, or the Limp Bizkit, that fucking Mission Impossible... song that they did was the big
Hell
one, and I remember,
fucking, yeah,
particularly on Napster, discovering that one on Napster or whatever it was, and just being like, "Oh my god, yeah, or LimeWire," thinking, "Oh my god, this is amazing."
I mean, we'll talk more about him on our other podcast.
More important,
pay to listen
for that gold, yeah.
For that,
Terry. What's going on with you, more importantly than Fred Durst?
I want to start off and apologize to our folks out there that there wasn't an episode last week. Now, I'll tell you, it was all my fault. I text Andy on the Tuesday because we had actually scheduled to do it on a different day. Give you a little peek behind the curtain here, folks, because Andy wanted to watch the big game.
Yeah, should have fucking just recorded it.
Yeah. But no, I woke up Monday night.
Yeah.
I woke up and I was like in the middle of the night, like my throat is sore because Bonnie had like had the sniffles and I was like, that should be fine. You know, I took a couple of paracetamol, went back to sleep. And then like when I actually got up, when I tried talking, my voice was gone pretty much. Like I sounded like your man from Independence Day. David!
Brilliant.
I was oh, so hoarse and like to a point where when I was talking it would sound like really gravelly and then it would just break
as in
my voice would just stop coming out then
all right
it was that bad like so it was another thing of like because by the end of the week I had a bit of a head cold as well so you're like oh Jesus fucking
nothing's really working for you huh pal
now I rang the doctor he said
Yeah.
No test needed, Pat.
How many tests is that for you?
8 tests? No, he said, no, because if you don't have a temperature or I can still taste my food, all that good stuff.
Right. Well, that's, yeah. Okay. And how's the feeling now?
Much better. Back to normal, as you can clearly hear.
But I tell you what, now, I do also share Terry's apology, even though he is 100% to blame, and we established that. I would also like to share my apologies. However, I would like to share
my fondness for that particular apology.
But I will say it was a holiday having a week off of editing and that sort of stuff. So I wasn't that mad at it, I'll tell you that.
Just had Madonna on all week.
Holiday,
it will be
so fine,
so nice. Question mark.
Listen, Aunt Nell's been going on with
you. Now, we have to start off and talk about the huge news cycle that happened from Sunday to Tuesday, and now it'll never be spoken about again. Like,
oh my God! Let me just say, first of all, I have been so excited. I have been loving every second of it. I've been telling everyone who listened. That's why I even tweeted the other day. You probably saw it, where Kerry's like, she so doesn't care. I'm like, well, let me tell you what happened today. And she's like, I'm only just going to remember how annoying you were during this whole thing.
Faye was being the good sport in that, like, I was fixated on her. I was like really worked up about it. And then she might be like,
she'd ask a question.
I've 10 minutes. What's going on with the football, Terry?
Puts on those glasses where it looks like she's awake. Homer's glasses.
She's like, you know, like, she took an interest, in fairness to her. I was like, well, let me tell you this, blah, blah, blah. So, like, I was sitting watching Monday Night Football till whatever time it finished, 10:30 or 11.
Yeah.
And then I turned on Sky Sports News and was just watching that for fucking ages. I fell asleep on the couch. Like, went up to bed at like 12:45. I was like, oh, what?
I was literally just refreshing my Twitter feed.
What am I doing to myself?
Every time I'd refresh my Twitter feed, there'd be something else breaking, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, no way.
The lads, I've never like, seen the text like true. Like, it was just Liverpool up for sale. Now, that one wasn't true, whatever. Yeah. But it was, people were talking about it. I was like, but the whole Woodward thing. Chelsea out, Man City out. It was like, what the fuck? Like, the guy from Juventus, you know.
It was unbelievable, I have
for those,
say.
Sorry, we haven't even said what it is. It was, and apologies to our American listeners who mightn't be in the loop on it. It was the European Super League, you know, the attempt of the big six clubs in England to basically wrestle money and create this new, like, closed off league where they just can't get relegated. Yeah, like,
and it's essentially
they're the founders.
Yeah, it's the owners of these clubs. Didn't even, the biggest thing for me is, didn't even tell the manager or the players or the staff.
Like,
you know what I mean? Like, they're just all of a sudden you're not in the Champions League.
Yeah, the Solskjaer thing where he's just like, they just won a game to like pretty much cement coming second, and you know, like, You have to keep going.
Yeah.
You know, like, City lost last week.
Yeah.
You have to keep going. Just so, like, they're trying to keep the pressure on.
Yeah, exactly.
And then they're asking about this. And he just was like, what can you say? Yeah. You don't know anything about it. Like, it's just, they're handing you a bomb.
Yeah.
And say, yeah, just hold that for, how long do you think's left on it? How long do you think's left on it?
That's
20,
the thing.
30 seconds. That's hold the, that for that long.
That's the thing that, like, wasn't fair. It was just that, like, you knew that, like, particularly, I remember when Liverpool were playing Leeds, that was when the story really broke that day, and it was like all anyone was talking about. And this is like, he's the one who's going to have to come and be asked about it.
While I do sympathise with Klopp, and before the game, I was like, fair play to him. He came out and he said,
"Yeah,
I don't like that. You know, I'm all about competition, whatever." The post game stuff, where because they didn't win,
yeah,
and he was went prickly. On like. Yeah, but that's not, you know, just because, like, you can't condone abusive behavior.
Ooh, abusive behavior now. Now, what do you mean by that now?
Well, at least Gary Neville, like,
oh yeah, going with the money,
you know, like, yeah, all that stuff, like,
it was a bit uncalled
and
for.
He's like, and what bugged me, and I think I texted you and Andy at this, or I was texting a lot of people at the same time, but what bugged me about it was Klopp being like, we got shouted at when we came here today to play this game, it's not fair, it's not our fault, you know. And then I was like thinking, it's like the week before Real Madrid have a Champions League quarter final against Liverpool, their bus is smashed in by Liverpool fans.
Yeah,
what is he saying about that? Yeah, he's a hypocrite, like. Then he went on that rant with Gary Neville going where the money is, all that.
I have to say, with the whole, I mean, Gary Neville's reaction was great. He's like, why?
Yeah, why am I living in his head? Like,
yeah, you know, like that was really good. But I have to say, like, I mean, first of all, like, it was so important in the world of football that even they had on YouTube live just the Monday Night Football preamble for the first hour. And I mean, what good TV. Like, there was
I'm not just saying this because he's former Man United player. Like, as a player, he was never one of my favorite Man United players. When you look back on it, I think you're like, Jesus, he was so consistent the whole time. He was never flashy or anything like that. Like, as a pundit, I think he is fantastic, and I think, like, it was like you say, it was important. It was so important for somebody.
He really set the tone.
Associated, yeah. Like, the fact that he was like Man United through and through, he was their club captain for towards the end of the season. Like, and the fact that he was coming out and like ripping the club to shreds on live television, like,
that ran
very important.
Yeah, I would totally agree. He really set a precedent of like the level that we shouldn't accept this at, because he's kind of like the first mainstream voice that you hear about it. And like, he's so passionate, and he's giving out about his own club, and he's saying, hit them with the heaviest, whatever, like, this is absolutely unacceptable. And I think that was a very important.
Calling them scavengers and you know, like that kind of stuff.
Like, you never walk alone. It's like, that's gone. That's out the window.
Yeah.
Well, it was so good. It was such good TV, I have to say.
If you're not a football fan, like, listening to this, I'm sorry. Like, we could do a whole fucking hour on this. Like, there's a lot to get out here, a lot of emotions. But because I will tell you, like, Monday morning, I was like, well, once you saw United are leaving the European Club Association, Ed Woodward has resigned, I was like, fuck, this is going ahead. And my thought process, it was such a roller coaster. I was like, well, okay, like, I don't want to follow Man United anymore if this goes ahead. Like,
that's what I wanted to ask you.
I'm not gonna watch him anymore. Like, it's just, I was like, fucking shite. Like, this club that I'm far too invested in. Like, every Sunday there is at least one argument in my house over me watching Man United, or what the humor I get into when they're not winning.
I'm exactly
like,
the same.
She's like, I hate how you are when you watch Man United. I'm like, I'm sorry, I can't control it. And then like, once 90 minutes happens and they've won, I'm like, hey. Everybody's
best buddy.
Yeah.
That's what I always say to Kerry. I'm like, not only is the football going to be on tonight, but if they win, if they lose, I'll be in a terrible mood after it. And she's like, please stop shouting. Like, you're going to make a try. I'm like, it's literally involuntary. Like, I can't even control it. Like, but it's been quite the week for football, should we say? I was kind of thinking the same thing. I was like, am I going to even follow Liverpool if they're not in this? Like, what if they're just out of the league, out of the Champions League, and in this whatever league? Like, what,
I was looking at the league, and I was like, who do I actually like the best? Like, I know I said to you West Brom
you did
before. Yeah, but I was thinking about it, and I don't really like them now as a club, because all my guys are gone. I liked them when it was Brunt, Malumbu, Morrison, the lads.
So who would it be now?
Dorans. I don't know, I was thinking about it. I was like, it'd be a bit too hipster of me to go to Leeds, but I do enjoy, and I've always enjoyed Leeds.
Leeds is a bit too obvious.
Yeah, and then I was thinking like Leicester, but again, it's like, oh, you just picked the best team. And I genuinely like them as a club.
Yeah, me too.
Like, Southampton? Know, a lot of goodwill there. I was thinking Southampton as well. Like, you know, like, this is not a conversation you want to be having, but I was like, if I'm going to, I don't want to stop watching the Premier League because I love football. Like, there's nothing more I want. Like, I watch every game that's on if I have time to, like, Sunday or Saturday, whatever it was, Faye was out and Bonnie was down for her nap, and it was like fucking
pay dirt.
Newcastle West Ham or something, and I was like, I could be doing you know, some I could watch something else, or I could read a book or whatever. Like, and I was like, no, I'm watching football because it's there and it's on, and I love to watch football.
Exactly.
Like, and I have no allegiance to either of these clubs. Like, I was like, go on, Newcastle. Yeah.
I love watching a good match that you have no affiliation with, you know. But even after like the news broke, I was kind of like, a morbid part of me wanted it to happen just to see more drama. And then I'm like, what's the league going to look like? I think like the Premier League is probably going to be fucking deadly now, like with those teams gone. And yeah, it's so
actually,
even.
It would be so much more unpredictable.
Yeah,
right,
you know. Like, but, you know, it all seems to have worked out in the end.
Right. For everybody's benefit, I guess, in the long run.
Yeah.
The hysteria was fun while it lasted, though, wasn't it?
Yeah, and I was obsessed with it. I was listening to every podcast I could about it. I was reading everything about it. I was watching everything about it, and I was thinking, why am I so like? It is at the end of the day just about a game that I like to watch on TV. But I was
something about it.
Love the drama. Yeah. It was the same when there's like a big snow or something, you know, and everyone's freaking out. Love it. I love that. I love the energy.
Love
of
the hysteria.
Things. Yes. A good mass hysteria.
Do we want to just ramble off a few quick things that we're watching before we get into it? Because we've already gone 15 minutes on that one topic.
I got a couple of things.
Hit me.
Now, I half watched two movies.
Oh, dear.
One is called Jiu-Jitsu, starring Nicolas Cage.
It's just called Jiu-Jitsu?
Yeah.
Okay.
It was one of the worst things I've ever seen. I turned it off after 10 minutes. Nicolas Cage isn't really starring in it. He's like some weird sixth lead or something like that. It's kind of like Spartacus vibes or something. Like nothing to do with Jiu-Jitsu at all. I knew that anyway, but when Kerry saw Nicolas Cage, he's like, oh, we're watching this.
You should watch Mandy if you want some Cage Rage.
I don't really want mental Cage Rage, I don't think.
He has a chainsaw fight in it.
Okay, well,
like dueling chainsaws.
Now then, I watched a thing that has been shoved down my face since it arrived on Netflix. They Live.
Never heard of it.
What?
You and I have different feeds.
This
completely
has been like, they've been chucking this every time I open.
Oh,
Netflix.
Is this the Roddy Piper one? Sorry.
Yeah.
Ah, okay. Yes, of course I've heard of it. John Carpenter's They Live.
Oh yes, of course. And your boy Keith David's in it.
Yeah,
Keith David.
And they have that. Did you watch the get to the fight scene?
I think it's
just the two of them beating the shit out of each other.
No,
they okay. So
did
like,
you see the whole thing?
Yeah, I've seen it. I've seen it years ago now. It's
boring
AF. But Andy,
like, are they aliens? Because it was 35 minutes in, and it's only an hour and a half movie. And I'm like, well, when are they going to get to anything
did
exciting?
Did he have the shades?
Yes.
Yeah, the shades. Tell you who's
I see. Oh, and he was looking through, and you could see. Yeah.
But you know that fight scene with Jimmy and Timmy in South Park where they're just like killing each other for ages. That's from They Live. It's literally the fight scene from They Live. And like even at the start, it's like Jimmy being like, not this year. That's from They Live.
Brilliant. But I mean, it was terrible. It was terribly acted, I will say.
Roddy Piper, he's all over the bubblegum.
He was terrible. Yeah, bubblegum. I remember that line.
He came here to kick ass and chew bubblegum, and he's all out of bubblegum. It's a great line, Andy. Come on.
Bubblegum,
like,
though. That isn't the first instance of it, is it? I came here to blank and kick ass, and I'm all out of blank. No way.
That's it. Like,
Roddy Piper was not the first person to say that.
I think that's it. I think that's where it's from. Like,
no way.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just because that
was
like
more credit then.
I would say to you, like, if you look at John Carpenter's filmography, man, like, right up your alley.
Is it all like Night of the Dead,
Living? No, he's Halloween. He did The Thing. Also, great Keith David performance.
Every month it's someone new.
It's not every
it
month.
It was Willem Dafoe last month.
It still is Willem Dafoe. I watched him do like a walk, a fashion walk there today.
Sorry?
Yeah. It was like Tim Roth, Willem Dafoe, Gary Oldman, and Adrian Brody.
Walk.
Yeah, it was like a catwalk. It was like the Pratt. They're all dressed up. It was weird.
It's
but he seemed to commit to it. He was almost like he was
loving it the most.
They were all acting like male models, if you know what I mean. Like,
so
they weren't
weird.
Acting like actors. They weren't like themselves. It was like they were performing. It was interesting.
You know, I'm something of a fashion model myself. Yeah. Last thing. I've been listening to something, Terry.
Oh, okay.
I'm listening to a podcast all about, or a podcast by Sammy the Bull, don't know his last name, Gavano or something like that. On Twitter, I seen that Blind Boy was tweeted something about these real life mafia guys having their own YouTube channels and podcasts. So I hit him up. So I hit him up on Twitter and I said, "Which one?" He replied to me personally, just two podcasting peers talking about mafia stuff.
Why didn't you get him to plug the show?
I wasn't really talking. I just said any use, and he replied with, you know, the two that are good. But I've been
great. Listen, I host the Simpsons podcast.
Listen, thanks for replying to me there. Listen, I'm just wondering, me and my buddy host the Simpsons podcast. That other bozo that I message hasn't got back, who will remain nameless, by the way.
Give him time, Andy. He's busy.
But it's all about, like, Sammy the Bull got out of prison a couple of years ago, whatever. He was the underboss for the Gambino family. And, like, he's telling everything. And it's so well produced, Terry. You would absolutely love this thing.
What's it called?
It's called Our Thing. And it is, there's 9 episodes so far. And, like, he goes into, like, his first hit. How he, like, when he got made, like, all these things, but, like, it's like straight out of a movie. Like, it's so good.
The only thing that went a little crazy was it wasn't one god, there was three of them. As soon as they saw me, they froze. They put their hands towards their guns. My gun was already out, and I just yelled to them, "If you go for that gun, I'll kill you." They froze a little bit. "Push the bags over here." I really didn't even give a shit about the bags anymore. I was in trouble. I knew I couldn't turn my back to run out. They would pull those guns out and I would be finished. They kicked over the bags. I grabbed one of the bags. Maybe two, one of them I half dropped. I was very nervous, probably a little scared. I knew I was in way over my head.
Our thing.
And there's, and it's on YouTube, and it has like the video of him talking, but the podcast form I've been listening to.
It's not on Stitcher.
Stitcher, get off it. First of all, take your credit card, cut it in half, and don't pay for anything on Stitcher anymore.
Why?
I don't know.
Okay.
How much is Stitcher, out of interest?
It's like three. It's free, first of all. And then if you want,
I thought you gave money.
The Stitcher Premium, which I do subscribe to for like £3 or something. Okay. I don't know. It's probably tenner, but when I signed up, it was like £3.
But anyway, I would highly recommend. There's another guy, Michael Francis, who was a former capo in the, I don't know, some other family. He's got a great YouTube channel and he reviews mob movies and mob documentaries. But like,
I've seen that guy.
Okay.
I've seen that thing where he like scenes from a movie he reviews.
Yeah,
and stuff
I think
like
so.
That, yeah.
But I would highly recommend that podcast to anyone. It's absolutely riveting. Like, I haven't shut up about it all week. So yes.
Between this and the Super League,
God
bless Kerry.
Hectic week. How about you, Terry? More importantly,
I watched a few things the past 2 weeks. Now the list would be too much for me to go into. Really,
give me a quick breakdown.
Narrow it down. Watched a really good movie at the weekend on Amazon called Sound of Metal. Have you heard of it?
I've heard of it.
It's really, really good.
I just heard Limmy saying it was good.
It's really good. It's Riz Ahmed, who you might know from Nightcrawler, or he was the second lead. He was, you know, Jake Gyllenhaal's assistant.
Oh yeah,
in Nightcrawler, he's in a Star Wars movie and all. Okay. Like, you know, he's a pretty big deal.
Okay,
he plays a heavy metal drummer, and literally, I think it is 5 minutes into the film, 10 minutes, he wakes up and his hearing is really distorted, and it's like, basically he's gone deaf.
Right.
So like he goes to the doctor and has to get tests done and all. But it also is that like he's a recovering addict.
Right.
So like this is something like it seems like playing the drums or whatever had become his new addiction. Now that's taken away, it's kind of like, how do you adjust to this world where all of a sudden you're deaf? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
It's really, really fucking good.
Okay.
Like, it's almost a point, it's like a horror film because you're like, I don't mean that literally. I just mean like, imagine your hearing just being gone like that. Like, you know?
So there's a few moments where you just think, fuck.
And just like, gee, what he's having to go through and stuff like that. And like, it kind of didn't go where I thought it was going to go, but it was all the richer for it because they use a lot of people, I think, that are non-actors in it.
Okay.
That are deaf people and stuff like that. Like, it's really, really, and he's brilliant in it. And
that's
like,
one I will probably check that out.
I know you like a good drumming movie, you know?
I do. That one that time, but it was excellent.
I also watched a movie called The Empty Man. Okay. Have you heard of this movie?
No, just assume I haven't heard of them.
But this is right up your alley. It's a horror, Andy.
Okay. The Empty Man, 2020 film. 3 stars on IMDb. That's a 6 out of 10.
I'd say it's about a 7 out of 10 for me, like around that range.
On the trail of a missing girl, an ex-cop comes across a secretive group attempting to summon a terrifying supernatural entity. Ooh,
it's kind of like has like Candyman vibes. Like in the trailer, it's like a bunch of kids on a bridge, and it's like if you blow into a bottle while thinking of the empty man, you summon him, and so many days he comes to you, or whatever. Like that.
I like those sort of movies.
I will say, I wasn't a huge fan of the ending, but everything up to the ending, I was like, I'm so digging this vibe. Like, you know,
You know what? I actually love hearing you describe movies because you're such a movie optimist. You'll never say like, don't know what the fuck they were thinking there. You're just like, it went in a different direction than I expected, but, you know. The ending wasn't as good as the...
For some people. Like, that's the thing. Like, whereas for me, I was like, okay, no, I see what you're going for, but not for me. But, like, I've heard other people talk about it, and they loved the ending.
Right, okay.
Literally, like, because I watched the trailer, and then when I went to put it on, it's one of those great things of a movie where I was watching for 5 minutes and I was like, I think I'm watching the wrong movie. Nothing that was in the trailer is here. And like, it has like the first 25 minutes is like something. I was like, what is this?
Yeah.
And then it's almost as if the movie that you've watched the trailer for starts. And I was like, oh.
Now, is that on an accessible platform, more importantly?
No.
Unbelievable. First of all, what's the movie even doing? Where is it even being played if it's not on Netflix, Amazon, or Disney? Where
Disney own it, so it could turn up on Disney Plus soon.
Right,
but
do you see what did turn up on Disney Plus?
No,
Dinosaurs.
Yeah, what a grim TV show.
Kind of was.
The end? Remember the end?
No, what happened at the end?
The end of it is like
asteroid or something.
He causes the Ice Age.
No,
the company he works for, like with all their pollution, causes the Ice Age, and then they're like, at the end, it's like, are we gonna be okay? And he's like, I don't know, kids, we'll see. And it just kind of zooms out while it's starting to snow, and you're like,
no way!
Oh, that's the end. Oh, how it's depressingly bleak!
It is a bit. It's way more adult than I remember.
It's ahead of its time for it is us,
like
because anyway,
it like, was a proper like sitcom almost. Like, you know what I mean? It's just that they're dinosaur like
not the mama.
Yeah, the baby's the worst part.
Yeah.
But like the baby
was the worst part.
It was interesting. Johnny wasn't really that into it, but
it's more of a curio now that you're like, what is this?
Yeah.
Like, why was this so big?
I'm like, why did I get so excited when I saw this?
Yeah. Yeah. It is this weird part of your childhood, but not something you particularly liked.
Yeah.
But where
I remember
always,
that.
I was intrigued. Like,
what else you got?
Last thing I want to talk about is Men in Black 1 and 2.
Now you're talking. Movie I've seen. Now you're talking. Let's get into
Men
it.
Men in Black 1 was on Sky 1 2 Saturdays ago. Great movie.
Good, eh?
Fucking, like, that is a movie. It's 95 minutes.
Yeah.
So, like, and yet it's a fucking huge summer blockbuster at the time. Like,
mm-hmm.
it's actually like a miracle that they can get that movie in the time, and yet they get through so much in it. Like, they get through.
Oh yeah, yeah.
They establish that there is this Men in Black order. Will Smith's origin story, him joining, him doing training.
True, you know, actually. Yeah.
It's loads of stuff, and then on the other side of the film, you have fucking Vincent D'Onofrio as putting in. What a fucking performance that he's doing in that.
Sugar, I hate that guy.
Sugar water. Ha ha ha.
I can't stand that guy.
He's, Andy, you watch that performance again. The things
What's
he's
his name?
Doing. Vincent D'Onofrio.
Oh, listen, monkey boy. Compared to you humans, I'm on the top rung of the evolutionary ladder. So can it, all right?
You're breaking my heart. Show me your face and I'll cure all your ills.
You ever pull wings off a fly? You can't say the fly bit even.
How far do you think you're going to get without your ship, if that's what you call a piece of space trash we got locked up in the office?
Put your weapons down.
Never going to happen, insect.
It's okay, Laura.
How is it okay?
I'm saying it's going to be okay.
Don't bet on it, meat sack.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
I remember we were talking about it with Tony. He's like, Vincent D'Onofrio. I was like, oh, I don't believe this.
These two fucking guys.
Yeah, I'll tell you what.
It is a fantastic performance. And then Men in Black 2 was on. Looks like shit.
I went to see that in the cinema, I remember. And I remember.
I didn't. I remember going to see the first one in the cinema and not wanting to go see the second one.
Ooh. No. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, I went to see it, and even I was very excited about it. It was shockingly bad, actually.
Such a fall from grace.
Yeah.
Like,
and why do you think that is?
The first one's almost perfect for what it is. And then the second one.
What does the second one not do that the first one does?
It kind of retreads a lot of old stuff, but also, like, it doesn't have the baddie. Like, it has Lara Flynn Boyle as the baddie.
Oh, yeah.
Remember her?
And I do.
Johnny Knoxville is also the baddie. And you're like, or her sidekick or whatever. Okay. Like, and you're like, fuck off.
It was
like
a cash grab, basically.
Yeah, exactly. So it was like,
but
even though I was looking at the like CGI in it, like in the first one, it looked amazing. You're like, for 97 or whatever, 98?
Yeah.
You're like, this looks amazing. And then, like, it somehow looks worse. 3 or 4 years later,
yeah,
whatever it was.
Like, I do remember thinking that as well myself. The special effects in particular were not good.
And what was so great about it was as well, like, you could tell, like, Will Smith was a star. You know what I mean?
In Men in Black 1?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he was just, he'd already been in huge films or whatever, but like, him and Tommy Lee Jones, and it's like the perfect
great chemistry.
Yeah, 100%. That's the thing. Like, you know that Tommy Lee Jones is always going to give you a gruff old man, but like Will Smith was just like jumping off the page or the screen, whatever you call it. He was just so cool.
He was almost like his character in Fresh Prince of Bel Air, almost in the movie.
Yeah, a little bit like
But
it was like a mixture between his Bad Boys character and Will from Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
Or you might even say every character that he played in a movie. Around that 5 year period.
No, I know what you're saying, but this one actually, because he was a little bit goofier
in this one,
in Men in Black, like, right. You know, he's like doing the whole thing where they zap the woman, and he's like, it was a vapor cloud or whatever, and he's like, that's the lie you're gonna make up. He's like, okay, no, you left him, in fact you're gonna go get your hair done, get some nice clothes, you know, all that. So you're like you can see that happening in Fresh Prince, like, you know.
And how about that track? That's what I miss. I miss those accompanying songs to go with a movie.
That
was great. And no one better than Big Will.
Yeah, I tell you what, he did have a great run.
Yeah.
What did it come to the end with? I mean,
what did it come
Black
to
Suit's
the end
Coming?
With?
Was that the last
Black one? Suit's Coming was for part two. Not as good. Nod your head, if you recall. Again, a retread, basically, of the first one.
The first one is still fucking amazing. Like,
Will Smith should just do that now. Oh, but he kind of did for Aladdin, I guess.
Ugh.
Too late, you don't wow me up.
Terrible.
Listen.
Awful, awful, awful. And you know what the worst thing is? When I'd be like, play Prince Ali to my Alexa. I'm trying to play something for Bonnie.
DJ Khaled.
Like, yeah, it's like playing Prince Ali by Will Smith and DJ Khaled. You're like, oh.
Julie, you know, warm me up. I'm like, that's our end song.
You know what? I'll give it to you. I'll give it to you. All right.
Wait, what song are we talking about again?
Will Smith, great. Prince Ali.
Okay, great. You see, that's literally what my head is like.
Okay, should we get into this?
Please, Terry.
Why don't you tell me what we're talking about here?
Well, Terry, today we're talking about the third episode of The Simpsons 8th season, The Homer They Fall, airing on the Fox Network on November 10th, 1996. It was written by Jonathan Collier and directed by Mark Kirkland, guest starring Michael Buffer as himself and Paul Winfield as Lucius Sweet.
Now, did you do any research on this guy?
Paul Winfield?
Yeah.
No.
He actually played Don King in the movie Tyson a few years earlier.
Oh, right.
So
that's why you got this role. He had
previous, yeah.
Ah, very good. He was excellent, if I may say.
Of course he was. Again, you'd never have heard of him before, but it's picking the actor for the role. It's brilliant.
I found that very interesting that our pal and peer, Bill Oakley, said that...
Friend and confidant.
said that they never had the actor in mind first.
For our next upcoming episode.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. So, a bit on the production.
By Marshall Talmadge.
I'm so happy I got the name right this time. Hey, now yo. I can use it all the time. Yeah, every night.
Just you out in the back garden in the pop tent.
Marshall Talmadge.
Mom, is that okay?
Jonathan Collier was a huge boxing fan. And knowing that people on the internet would give them grief, the writers went through a lot of effort to explain how Homer would be able to challenge for the heavyweight title.
Mad that they're thinking about that back in the 97. Is that 97, 96?
90, what did I just say?
Yeah, six. I guess it would just be message boards of people giving out about shit as well, like at that point.
Yeah, true, actually, I never even thought about
that. That's all the internet was, wasn't it? Like,
yeah, it was nothing. Yeah. Could have got away with murder. A lot of the scenes involving Homer fighting hobos were pitched by John Swartzwelder, who seems to just wave magic dust over everything he touches.
He's like sitting in the corner eating a sandwich. What about Homer works his way up the rankings by fighting hobos? The whole room just stops.
The record goes,
John. You've done it.
Lucius Sweet is a parody of Don King, as you said. In the script,
I love the name
Lucius Sweet.
Yeah, you know Lucius brilliant. Sweet.
He's exactly as rich and as famous as Don King, and he looks just like him. Don King was asked to guest star, but turned the part down. Dredrick Tatum obviously is a parody of Mike Tyson. The name came from George Meyer, who went to high school with a boy named Dredrick Timmons, and he thought it was a cool name.
What I love about the Dredrick Tatum character is, like, he's been featured in other episodes, you know, where there's been a fight on TV or whatever, and each time it seems to have changed the look to look like Mike Tyson.
Like how he looks now.
Like. So, like, when he was fighting, I can't remember the guy, he was supposed to be Holyfield. Yeah. The other guy he was fighting, he was like, I would like to dedicate it to... my late manager. And then, like, Tatum's like, I'd also like to dedicate it to his manager. Hey, man, you can't do that. And, like, he had, like, the Tyson, the real, like, tight haircut, you know, like, as opposed to now, this one where he has the beard and stuff, like, which kind of was around how, like, Tyson was looking.
Yeah.
Apparently, it's just if you go back and see them. He's actually been on AEW television quite a bit the last few weeks. Like,
he started his own weed company.
Yeah, everybody has, apparently.
Yeah, Seth Rogen stuff on Instagram. That houseplant merch looks absolutely unreal.
Yeah, that's the company, isn't it? That's his legal.
Yeah, they're bringing out record players now.
I read a thing on Twitter today, and it was like some insider, but it was like, it's like the best joint he'd ever seen rolled was by Chris Evans, Captain America himself. He's literally like... somebody brought it over. They didn't have a grinder, so he crushed up the weed in his hand.
And then, he really is Captain America.
With the other hand, he had the papers there, and he popped it in. And he said, your man said he looked away, and when he came back, the joint was rolled. It was put on the table, and Chris Evans had got up and walked away. Like,
oh my god!
I was like, this is where I leave you now.
It's even cooler that he didn't smoke it.
Yeah, that's what that's what he was saying. It was like, it's the best joint I ever smoked in my life.
I tell you. I've done a complete 180 on our boy Chris, on my man Chris Evans. In preparation for the episode, Mark Kirkland watched several boxing films and said he was satisfied with how the episode turned out.
A few things like Raging Bull and stuff in there.
Yeah, there's a few references. All right, I still haven't seen Raging Bull.
It's good. It's a tough watch though. Like, it's not easy. Not easy, as in, like, you'd be very impressed with De Niro and. It's black and white, but like some of the stuff you're like, oh man.
Like De Niro's good, but the rest you'd be like,
eh. No, it's all really, really good, but you're just like, oh, this is fucking, like, how to say, it's tough watching this character do these things.
Okay.
You know, when you're like, yeah, really brilliant. Like, De Niro won the Oscar for it. Like,
oh, did he? How many Oscars has he won?
Two.
What did he win the other one for?
Godfather, Part 2.
Ah, I still haven't seen that. Anyway, the last thing in Mo's office.
That's what it's saying.
Yeah,
it's pretty good.
I figured. There's a brief shot of a poster advertising Sizzlack versus Oakley. Kirkland,
I noticed.
And Kirkland versus Silverman, in reference to Bill Oakley, Mark Kirkland, and David Silverman. And the reception, Terry, got a Nielsen rating of 10, equivalent to approximately 9.7 million viewing households, and was the second highest rated show on Fox that week, following...
Yes. Apparently that's on Disney Plus now as well.
Is it?
And I never watched that as a kid, really. Did you not?
I had to sit through so much of it. Tony loved it.
And who did Tony?
My dad loved it as well. I thought it was so boring. I couldn't deal with it. And look, that's kind of it. You know what I mean? We've rambled on long enough. That's the gist of it. We're 40 minutes in already.
Sing my song.
What was the song that X-Files song that they had out?
Oh, it was like a dance mix.
Mark Snow, I want to say.
It was a dance mix.
Yeah,
of the theme.
I remember that was big back in the day.
I remember like dance mix. I remember like Braveheart.
Braveheart.
You know, like, it was like that. It was like a Braveheart, dance song. And it was like a woman singing it, but it was like a real like heavy dance beat underneath it.
About like the movie Braveheart?
Yeah. Obviously it was number one in Ireland. Like,
of course it was. Just put a dance beat behind anything in
remember
the 90s.
That in the mid-90s. It was always number one. It was some shitty fucking dance song. Like,
I can't
top
believe.
Hits.
Oh, yeah.
Top
30
hits. That's Top of the Pops, mate.
No.
That's Top of the Pops.
What one?
You got a whole lot of love. No, that was Top of the Pops.
But what had... Wasn't Top 30 Hits a Led Zeppelin song as well?
I don't think
that
so.
That Irish one? No. I don't know. I'll never get it. Listen, my notes, Terry, which I know you're dying to hear.
Please tell me, because I'm dying to hear it.
Huge fan of the... Native American show at the start where they come out and like it's
Bonanza.
So desperate, and it was like we were always trying to kill the Cartwrights, but it looks like Father Time took care of that for us. Am I right folks?
And then it's just like
they just go back to dancing. Yeah. Da, 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 da,
da, da. Weren't there three Indians last year? I love when they're at the mall doing stuff, because it's always like something weird going on then. It's like, what could be happening at the mall? Well, anything could be happening at the mall, really, you know?
Yeah, it's a gateway for a million 100%. Different stories. Kerry said, that's me, when Homer's like...
the world's like, best check.
He's like, we got to go in here. It's like, Homer, you're hurting my arm. No, I'm not.
He's so gleeful as well.
I know, he's not even paying attention. Yeah. I love that. And then, that as well, the world's best jacket. Like, I've got to buy this. That's exactly what I'd be like. Nothing else. I'd have to have it now as well. Like a child, if you even said, no, next week we'll, you know, come back and buy that. No.
You're bad humor for the rest of the day. Yeah.
Sitting in a home.
Andy, you haven't eaten your dinner.
What a jacket. What's the point?
We can't have that jacket. I don't want dinner.
I don't want to live. And then as well, Raphael, probably one of his finest.
So good.
Finest. I don't have the whole thing, but I just, the line where he's like, oh, a fat, sarcastic Star Trek fan.
Yeah. He must be a devil with the ladies.
Gee, I'd like to help Casanova, but. A comic book guy. Like, and I love how the comic book guy is the one. Yeah, he's the one getting shit on now.
And even his sign, like, hi. Very well, I must hurry back to my comic book store where I dispense the insults rather than absorb them.
Brilliant.
Like, even he's like, I would like to return your quote unquote ultimate belt. Like, I see. Do you have a receipt? Quote unquote, sir.
Brilliant. Yeah. Oh, I love that voice. Who so does good. That? Which actor does that, do you think?
I think it's Hank Azaria, isn't it?
Yeah, it would have to be, I guess. Sound, yeah.
Or maybe, yeah. It could be the Anne Castellaneta though as well. Like,
I noticed I was watching The Family Guy yesterday and Homer was in the episode for like a few seconds and it was actually Dan Castellaneta's voice.
Oh, was it?
I think that's quite cool.
I've caught up on Solar Opposites anyway.
Oh yeah, and?
Yeah, I'm in.
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah, and I don't know if you're onto the second series yet.
No, that was very quick though.
Yeah, I mean, it's only 7 episodes or 8 episodes, but it was like, they kind of because the wall is my favorite part of the whole thing.
Yeah.
You know what's going on inside the wall. And then at the start of season one, they're like, season two, you're still putting people inside your wall. He's like, yeah, it's my favorite thing to do. Like the son or whatever is like, my favorite thing to do. Like, I like it. In fact, I'm going to keep doing it. It's my favorite part of this whole thing. It's like, oh, okay. So like, you obviously heard people online talking.
Oh, nice.
That's probably their favorite thing. So like, they're referencing it at least.
Is it like well received in general?
I don't think it has. I mean, it got renewed for another season, but like,
yeah.
I think people were thinking it was, like we said, going to be another Rick and Morty, and then it's different. It's his own thing. It's not as good. Like,
it's very. I just still think it's so odd that they made it so similar to Rick and Morty, and they had a chance to do something completely different, and they still kept it. Almost within that universe, like,
yeah, they probably had a lot of notes being like, make it like Rick and Morty, but not Rick and Morty, you know. So it's they like kind of
Rick and Morty 100% unauthorized version. You
know? It's Dick and Ricky.
The Bart has the belt. Then he takes the belt and gets
when he's going through it with the kids.
Yeah.
It's a tactical pantry training system. Compass, matches, whistle, saw, panic button, squirrel snare, radon lie detector, sphygmomanometer,
and
cute turn signals.
Yeah. I remember as a kid thinking that actually
does. I would love that
brilliant.
Belt. Yeah. That's, as a kid, I was like, yeah, that's great.
Do you know what it is? It's because there's lots of compartments and buttons on it. You know what I mean?
That's it. Like,
particularly when he's fiddling around with it, where he's like, compass, blah, 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 and he's opening things and taking out, like, oh, yeah, yeah.
I don't know why it always gets me when Bart is running away from them. And it's like Janie at the water fountain. She's like, no running.
There's absolutely no need for that to even be there.
And that's why I love it. Yeah. Like, no running. Like, what do you care? I'm trying to get bashed. Like,
it's typical school, though, as well. Yeah. Like, there would be one that would say that. So, first of all, like, I love the fact
the
that
the turn signal.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then, but I was going to say, like, after he gets beaten up for the belt and all this, and he's walking through the kitchen, and like, Homer doesn't even notice he's beat up to fuck. He just notices his belt is missing.
No, he's like, looking good, son.
Yeah.
And then he's like, hey, what happened to your belt?
And then he goes to talk to the parents. I love... This is their before, only appearance ever, though. Oh, yeah, go on.
The bit before, he's like, there's only one thing that punks like that understand. Squealing. You're going to squeal every teacher and every grown-up you can find. Coming to me was a good start. And then Bart's like, but then they'll just beat me up even worse. Like, yes, they are a clever bunch.
And then Homer's getting beat up by the buddy's dads. Their only appearance, but I just love this, like the line where he's like, "That's for telling me how to raise."
So it's like Jimbo's dad is like, "That's for telling me how to raise my lousy kid," and then like he punches him in the face, and Homer just turns like not breaking conversation, not this right, and he's like, "Anyway, Bart really loved that belt." And your man is like, "This is for the crummy life I've had to live," and like
that's the best bit. Shot. Like, this is for the crummy life I've had to live.
Yeah, the kidney shot. And then the other guy, he's not falling down.
Yeah,
something wrong with this guy.
That's a terrible impression. Sorry, that was awful.
Considering Kearney is supposed to be like 50 himself or whatever, like,
yeah, how old is this guy? Like,
yeah, but then the whole thing with Mo, like, fun's over, fellas. If you're gonna beat up my friend in my bar, there's a 2-drink minimum.
And you find, like, this is where it turns to okay. He's like, I've never seen a guy take a beating like that. And I love that. As soon as I'm watching, I'm like, yes, Mo is getting into it now. And he's talking
this is as close as they come. They're skirting right up to doing a Mo episode. You know what I mean? It's a two-hander. Not even a two-hander, but it's like, it's a co-episode. You know, it's Mo and Homer, where it's not just Mo's episode. How would I say it? Like, you're not bursting the dam just yet. You know, like, whereas in seasons gone by, you're like, okay, he's crossed over the line. Now he is the main character. Well,
yeah, they straddle the line. Yeah, say.
You're just coming up to that curve.
I love the fact that he's trying to sell, like, how well these boxers live, and where he's like, what was it where he's talking about?
He's like,
what's the line?
So he's basically saying it's the good life, Homer. Some of these boxers, they eat steak and lobster and salad bar all in a single meal.
Dressing?
Their choice.
And you know what I love about that is the close-up on Mo's face. Like, he's right up to the camera. Their choice.
And then it's the whole, they're doing he's training him. Are you man enough to give me a 60% cut?
Yeah.
Like, are you man enough to throw a punch should the opportunity arise?
Great visual gag when he's training him, when he punches the pad.
I have a bit of a problem with it. Ooh. And I'll come to it.
I thought that was next.
It's not quite, because they go to the office. Mo's office.
Love the visual. And I'll get to all the visuals in this episode.
There's so much good stuff going on.
But it looks great, this episode, I have to say. And Mo's women's bathroom office is
this runner here. First of all, Homer is like, you used to be a boxer just like me? He's like, yep. They called me Kid Gorgeous. Later on, it was Kid Presentable. Then Kid Gruesome. And finally, Kid Mo.
I love that Kid Mo is the last one.
It's great. It's great, like, rule of threes, and then one below it is that's the insult there. Like,
and then he realizes he knew Lucius Sweet.
Yeah.
Back
when I was gorgeous, everybody wanted a piece of me. But somehow I never made it to the big time.
Yeah, what was it? It was like,
why not? He's like, because I got knocked out 40 times in a row. That plus politics. It's all politics.
Lousy Democrats.
That's what I love about this show as well. As I'm watching it back, you realise everybody always says that, like, lousy Democrats. And it's like, it's because it's supposed to be a red state, like, that they're in, you know?
Interesting.
It's interesting, like.
And you would imagine that The Simpsons in general.
Like, you'd be a bit liberal, like.
Yeah, exactly. You know? What else have I got? Oh, I've turned my phone off. Hang on.
I got something here for you. Great. Marge, where it's like, Homer, of all the crazy ideas you've had, this one ranks somewhere in the middle.
Like, I love that line.
Get on how to box. Like, you haven't exercised in, you know, since you were 12.
Yeah.
He's like, I implore you to consult a doctor. No problemo. I can't but a doctor.
Don't. I love that.
Yeah. And then Hibbert, like, you more than meet every one of the state's requirements to box, wrestle, Or be shot out of a cannon.
Yeah, what you say, that's what we get for living in a state founded by circus freaks.
Yeah.
And then
I don't know what this guy, I don't know why. Again, it's another gag that like really works for me. It was like, you got this Homer Simpson syndrome. It's like, he's like, oh no, why me? He's like, no, it's very beneficial. He like takes a 2x4. Why, I could sit here and beat you all day with this 2x4 and you barely even feel it. But I've got other appointments.
The fact that he's unzipping the bag, the 2x4.
You're like, and he really wants to do it. You get the idea that, like, yeah, I love
he's winding
this.
Up for it.
Yeah.
Like. And then you have Homer's training montage. Yeah, great. Punching. I mean, I love that visual. What's your beef with the
My
punching?
Beef with it is they've shown you so many times before that Homer can throw a hell of a punch.
Yeah, true.
You know, like he's a dirty fighter. I mean, it works for this episode, you know, but like...
True, actually.
It just never
sat
right
with me. They do that with
Mr. Burns
as well.
Yeah, they do it with Burns all the
time.
Sometimes
he can't lift a sponge, and other times he's... Yeah.
Yeah, I'm more forgivable when they're doing it with Burns as opposed to Homer. I don't know why. Yeah. That doesn't make any sense, really, but like...
We've probably seen Homer throw a punch at least
I like seeing Homer fight as well.
Yeah,
that's
me
the thing.
Too.
Like, you know, I like seeing him, like...
He certainly
throw digs...
George Bush Sr. run for his money.
Exactly. Not even a year ago.
But when they get to the first boxing match, I love just the image of Homer's head just going back as your man's punching it. It's like the only times he stops is to check on his... I don't know.
There's so many good things here. Really, like,
it's so funny.
You're fighting Boxcar Bob. He's like, worked his way up from the boxcars, did he? He's like, no, actually, yeah. No, he's still homeless or whatever. And then he's like, he's a hungry young fighter. He's fighting for a sandwich.
I always remember that line. Yeah. That line really sticks to me in this.
And yeah, it's Lenny and Carl, where he's like, he's got the energy of a hobo. He's like, yeah, he never stops punching except to check on his bindle.
Yeah, bindle, that's the word. Brilliant. But the montage that comes after it, that black and white,
that's
montage,
Raging Bull, like,
is it?
Because there's a lot of like the opening to Raging Bull is De Niro in a ring, black and white, and there's like, looks like there's a lot, the way it's shot, it's beautiful, it looks like there's a load of fog, but it's to opera music.
Yeah,
slow motion.
Is it to that song?
No, it's different, but it's similar. Right.
Very good. It was very well done or well recreated in this, because
it's
fantastic.
It's not, like it's not. How would I say? Like, you can tell that it's supposed to be like an homage to it, but clearly its own thing as well. Like.
Yeah, it was very well done, I have to say. And then after that, you have Mo. I just love the scene of Mo just writing something. He's just actually working in his office or whatever. And you just see the jewels on Lucius Sweet.
Hello, Mo. Delightful to see you again.
Brilliant.
Yeah. What's that glitterati like you doing in my dump?
And then when he's talking about, like what's the line he says? Word
okay,
on the street?
So he...
Hit me with it.
He's like, yes, his managing rhetoric has been my highest priority, even though he is temporarily incarcerated for pushing his mother down the stairs. But with his impending release, I've been strategizing for his glorious return to the shores of Fistiana.
His comeback fight.
You know, boxing. Like, Mo's just looking at him like, what?
And he's like, word on the street is you have a... I want to get the line just right.
Oh. I don't have it.
Anyway, he has a boxer anyway that can't be knocked down. Yeah. I think the line of the show is when Mo is like, it's like, Tatum will fustigate him.
Yeah,
fustigation aside.
Mo.
Brilliant. My next note was just what a great character Lucius is.
Yeah.
And I never really thought much of him. Watching it previously, I never thought, like, oh, I love that character. You know what I mean? Like, I appreciate him more.
He always
now.
Left a big impression on me, but I've appreciated him a lot more this time around. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. There's a movie on Disney Plus. It's actually really good. I remember watching it one night on, like, RTE. I remember RTE on Monday used to show stuff at, like, 11.
Yeah.
Or, like, 12 at night and be, like, bring it into, like, half one or two. And it's a movie called The Great White Hype. Okay,
right.
Let me sell you this, right?
Okay, sell it to me.
Sam Jackson plays a kind of Don King role.
Okay.
Damon Wayans is the boxing champ.
Oh my God.
And it's basically, the whole thing is he can't find a opponent that they can't sell fights because Damon Wayans is too good. And then they're going through his back catalogue. Sam Jackson finds the only opponent to ever knock him out or down was this guy, Irish Terry Conklin. So they're building up the fight as like, and but like he's like a Division II boxer now. Like, you know, it was when they were both coming up, he was the only one that knocked them down. Whereas Damon Wayans went on to be like a megastar. Your man stayed at his level.
Right.
But they build the whole fight around the only person to ever knock him down. And your man, like Damon Wayans, is like, this guy's fucking shite. Like, he's never going to beat me. And like starts getting real fat. So the whole film is about promoting that fight. It's really, really good.
Interesting.
It's something different, but like...
90s, was it?
90s, yeah. Like, it's on Disney Plus. The Great White Hype, it is...
Okay.
I'd love to see if it holds up as well.
I'm guessing if it was made in the 90s, probably not.
Yeah, but like that kind of stuff is... it's shrewd, you know what I mean? Like the comedy where you're coming at it from an angle. So
yeah, I suppose. I mean, yeah. I find that a lot about that decade though. That it's kind of, you know, it doesn't try. Like, is the 90s? Do you think the worst decade for like dated media?
80s is pretty bad as well. Like,
but is it bad?
There's a lot of. Racist, sexist stuff there, and the 90s as well. Like, but like they were kind of a bit of more aware, or
yeah,
there seemed to be at least there seemed to be a bit more representation that wasn't so
right.
You know, wasn't it was more representation than exploitation.
Hello,
how about that?
I like it.
You can there's a fucking something for the demo tape right there.
That's why you tune in here, folks. Yeah. You tune in for the hard hitting. Stuff. Oh, God. I'm gonna stay in my wheelhouse now and go back.
So they say that like he's gonna fight anyway. They're talking to having a beer. He's like, Homer, how would you like to be heavyweight champ of the world?
I love the scene of the two of them just on like the roof or whatever.
Yeah. Well, first of all, he's like, I didn't bring you up here to show you my new tar paper. He's like, you didn't.
I love Homer is just so trusting him. I was like, if you say I can beat him, he doesn't stand a chance.
Like this episode, Homer is a sweetheart again, which is always good. Like, you know,
it's my favorite kind of Homer.
Yeah.
He goes to the prison and they're all riding.
Hey, you guys,
come on, shut up.
It was Jerry. It was Jerry.
And like,
so then the interview. So good.
Oh.
Champ, do you feel remorse for your crime?
Oh, yes. Believe me, my God. If I could turn back the clock on my mother's stair pushing, I would certainly reconsider it.
Drenerick, what do you think of Homer Simpson?
I think he's a good man. I like him. I got nothing against him, but I'm definitely going to make orphans of his children.
You know, they do have a mother, Champ.
Yes, but I would imagine that she would die of grief.
Drenerick, over here.
Thank you. But the champ has no time for further queries. This parole hearing is over.
This parole hearing is over.
That's the best thing. That's the best thing.
I never got that before. Hearing.
Yeah. Piss myself when I saw it. Yeah.
Brilliant. Yeah. And then marriage again. This is like marriage's equivalent of like, so you want to join? He's like, Homer, why does it say you're fighting Drenerick Tatum?
Well, I was going to surprise you, but happy anniversary, baby.
And I'll tell you what I like most about that is the little smack that he does in between. I was going to surprise you, but happy anniversary, baby. It's perfect.
Like Homer, and it's weird that Homer's doing this for like to be rich as well, like, you know.
You never really hear Homer's like motivation for.
No.
He's like, oh, I have to do it. I have to beat him. He's just in it.
People tell him he can do it, and I'd be like, oh, and we could have a load of money, like, you know.
Yeah, he's really doing it for his
When he's going on, she's like, we could have all the things we dreamed of: a snooty butler, carpeted carports, those blue cupcakes they sell sometimes. And Marge is like, but you'll be killed. Marge, would you let me finish? Plug-in room deodorizers, front and rear spoilers for the car. Like he has the most contemplated. Yeah, exactly.
The most mundane things as well. and then... I was just gonna say the look of all of the locker room stuff.
Yeah, it's like proper so like good. Cinematic animation.
Yeah. You had like the silhouettes of Bart wrapping Homer's hands or wrapping his gloves or whatever. Looks amazing. Then you have the shot in the hallway of Mo and Marge saying like, if he's in trouble, you know.
Yeah, it's like, if he dies out there, it's because of your negative thoughts. There, I said it.
Yeah, I love that, Marge. Listen to me.
Yeah, it's great. Like,
it's great. Yeah. And it looked so good. That's just my big note here. It looked amazing.
I thought it was so good. The little ad where it's like, society put Dredrick Tatum away for his brutal crime, but he's paid his debt, and now he's going to get revenge on Homer Simpson. It's like, payback. And they're like, Grandpa and Bart are like, yay! Yeah. And then Grandpa's like, that's your daddy.
What a mad episode this is.
It really is. Like, oh yeah. Like, it's very high concept. It's very high. You know, you're getting wacky. This is one of those. Yeah, you're getting wacky again. Because everybody comes to Springfield, like Michael Buffer, you know.
I know, yeah. But the whole entrance of...
Love it.
I mean, I love the fact that it's the Why Can't We Be Friends?
Yeah.
But like his nicknames, like the Brick Hit House, I thought was hilarious. Never remember that. And the classic of...
And it's also Southern Dandy.
Brilliant.
The whole thing where he's going around the celebrities that are there, it's like TV Anchorman and Springfield Institution, Mr. Kent Brockman, and they're like, boom. It's like, this just in, I'm going to hell.
I love Kent Brockman as well, even like later on in the fight when like he's like, and the cans are still being thrown
still raining down trash on him, like Anthony Fat Tony D'Amico.
And then also when Tyson comes out, I love the look of his like team or of his apparently that's like based on a real image or a real whatever of one of Tyson's walkouts where he had all good, these guys like, all just
and even the music like is so good.
Let's I think didn't we hear like the real Tyson like didn't come out to any music, he would just come out.
Hey man, that's effective.
Yeah,
I remember in wrestling when R-Truth used to come out to no music, the fucking
I've had enough.
Yeah, the boos he was getting. Don't boo me, you should be booing yourselves. The act of just coming out to no music got him so much heat. It's crazy. He just came out with no music and he'd just stand there and they would boo the shit out of him. Brilliant. People would forget because he's been such a comedy figure for the past 10 years or so, but like that heel run he had was fucking unreal.
That was kind of when I started like, watching it back, I think it was like 2010, 11.
I'd say I probably never shut up about him, like, because I was like, this is fucking amazing.
It's like him and The Miz or something, I remember.
But even before that, like, because he was like real weird, you know, his promos would be all over the place, like, talking about spiders and hospital food, like.
The next note I have is just, obviously they're fighting and Dredrick's beating the shit out of him, but when Marge is like, you have to knock him out, and Homer tries to knock him out, the punch on top of his head like his neck is just like, and even just the noise of him where he's like, like fucking hell.
The thing that like I love is like, hang in there Homer, only 440 more seconds. He's getting a second win. He's like, no, he's getting killed. He's going to die on his feet. Poor like, man. Oh, poor Abe. Like, so, you know, it's bad all around.
And then I remember, and it's funny, when I was watching it with Kerry, she's like, I used to like get so annoyed at the next bit when Mo just says, I got to get out of here.
Yeah.
She's like, I can't believe he did that as a kid. And I remember thinking the same thing. I'm like, 100%, I thought Mo was a good guy.
You can't do this, Mo. Like,
yeah. It looks like he wants to end it with one punch.
And like just everybody's face when it's like, and like Grandpa has like just has this big like look of wonder on his face. Like, I don't know why that made me laugh quite a bit. And then when he comes in and takes him out, The delivery by Buffer is like, ladies and gentlemen, whatever dignity remained in boxing is literally flying out the window.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just the way
he
says it.
What was the fan man in, though? What was
his
deal?
He was a guy. Like, he was, this is a thing from the news in America. This guy that just showed up, like, ruining things, I think.
Fan man. Let me just have a look at this, Terry. James Miller. Ugh. Parachutist. Known as the Fan Man, known for appearing at various sporting events, his infamous appearance was at the boxing 93 boxing match between Holyfield and Riddick Bowe at Caesar's Palace. No way.
What did he do?
He flew into the arena on a power paraglider, eventually crashing into the side of the ring. Brilliant.
What's great about this episode is, like, I'd never heard that before, but you just go with it. Like, it's a thing, okay, and it's a funny thing. Like, you know, yeah. It's taken from real life, but, like, we'd never heard of it. Like,
now, hold on. The plot thickens here, Terry.
Oh.
Health issues, surgery. September, he was reported missing after he disappeared that morning, and his car was found. A search. Just give me the fucking.
What are you doing?
He died anyway. I don't know. I'm in the weeds, Terry.
Another good scene was outside. It was like, oh, your manager obviously loves you very much. Lucius, would you do that for me?
Of course I would. Now
get in the van.
And then the whole, like,
I love it as well. Like,
it's like, you will always be a loser. And I take your check for $100,000 and get out of my sight.
You couldn't even give me one lousy round.
That's the line I think that gets used a lot. You couldn't even give me one lousy blank. Yeah. You know? Yeah. And then, like, the fact that, like, Mo is just decides, he's like, he's flying away. He's like, where are you going? Ah, nowhere in particular.
I just need some time to think. And then, like, I love the credits. Like, people.
Yeah.
People.
It's the greatest feeling.
Oh, God, dude, it's unlistenable.
Luckiest people. Doesn't Mo owe Homer 40 grand? Heard of that?
Like, oh, yeah.
That's why he's flying away.
Yeah. It's very good. And then the episode's over.
Shall we get into ratings?
Oh, please.
We want you to tell us what you think and be honest, because no one from the show is here spying on you.
Well, Terry, let me ask you something, pal. Thoughts?
A thoroughly enjoyable episode. Bit wonky and wacky, or whatever you want to call it, but, you know, it was still fun. I had a lot of fun with this episode.
Yeah.
You know, it wouldn't,
same.
When I was thinking about it, I was like, oh, that's a good one.
Yeah.
It didn't disappoint me, but at the same time, I think I knew it wasn't going to be like Scorpio.
That wasn't really high concept, but
that, like, kind of, it became high concept. You know, it became high concept, but was still grounded. This one was like,
way out there.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Like, you fought Dredderick Tatum?
Yeah, exactly. Isn't that one of them?
One of the things that Grimes says, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You. Can I ask you what your who your MVP would be, if you don't mind?
I'm going to go Lucius Sweet.
Nice.
And I'll give it an 8.7.
Okay.
Now, it, like I said, it was good, but it just, and I had a lot of laughs in it, but it just seemed a bit like there wasn't a lot of there, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, it was
I'd kind of agree with you, like, it's there's something's missing.
Yeah.
Something's missing in it. But it was thoroughly enjoyable, and it visually, it looked amazing. There was just, it wasn't quite the grand slam, should we say.
Yeah.
I would give my MVP to Mo. Mm-hmm. And I will give it a rating of 8.5. Right in that meaty part of the curve.
Okay, yeah. That's pretty good.
Yeah. So this ranks as both our second favorite of the season so far, out of three.
Yeah, I mean, well, the first one was a Halloween episode, so
And then you understandable. You only moved twice. I mean, unprecedented like scores, to be honest.
I mean, there was a precedent.
There was one precedent.
Yeah, there's one precedent, baby.
Listen, can we get our plugs in?
Sure. Why don't you tell the good folks at home, you know, where they can find us in this crazy mixed up world?
Terry, I'll tell them. You can find us on Twitter and on Instagram at PutItInHPodcast. You can find links to everything we do here. You can on our Instagram. You can now listen to this, Terry.
Mm-hmm.
Right? This isn't another person, is it? Oh no! Someone messaged me today saying their keyring fell out of the envelope, or there was no keyring in the envelope. And I said, "Grand, I'll send you another one." And I think I got an email from someone else saying that also happened.
Oh, Andy!
For sake, Jesus Christ! Sorry, folks, if that happened to you, I will. You don't need to order it again. I'll email this person back. Anyway, shouldn't be airing our dirty laundry. But a more positive email we got was from a listener of the show, Sean, who lives in Australia. He says,
"Hey, Sean.
He says,
where in Australia is he from?
Perth.
No, I've never been to Perth. I lived in Melbourne for a year.
Hey lads, massive fan of the show and finally getting around to emailing now that my badges have just arrived in Perth. I first started listening to the pod after hearing it mentioned on the more famous Cantwell Brothers podcast, sorry Andy, and I've been hooked ever since.
Hey,
there's not many lads I've found that share the common ground of loving wrestling, football, and endlessly quoting The Simpsons. I'd like to think we're a rare breed. Anyway, always
I don't
nice.
Think we're as rare as you think we are, Sean.
We're everywhere.
We're basic.
Anyways, it's nice to listen to voices from home, especially dubs talk about not only Simpsons, but even just daily life back home, however shit it may be for you at this current time. Keep up the fantastic work on the main feed and the Patreon. And hopefully he's out of the shite soon, and maybe we can all meet up for a pint and shite talk back home. That would be lovely.
That would be lovely. I remember we talked about doing a live show and stuff. Like, I still would have hopes for that maybe next year.
I was thinking the same thing.
I would love to do just a meet up, even, you know, like I know other podcasts do that where they just fans say, well, we're going to be here,
drinks.
Yeah, and you know, we'll do a put an H meet up if anybody.
That'd be great.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd love to do that. That's excellent. It. That's what we'll do. Great idea. And thanks for the email, Sean. And again, apologies to anyone who's lost a key ring in their envelope. I sent a yoke, that one of the pins, to America. There's a big chunk taken out of the envelope. A big hole, like a big fucking bear. What?
You're on thin ice, Andy.
Oh, it didn't arrive? That's so bizarre. I definitely put it in there. I don't know. Patreon, Terry. Why don't you tell the good folks about that?
Oh, yeah. Well, we're on Patreon. You and me are on Patreon. Yeah. Can we talk about that? Okay. So, for the low, low fee of €4.50 or $5, I've come to the conclusion that's what it is, because
it is, yeah.
All mine have changed from dollars to euros now when I'm looking at stuff. So, $5 you do is €4.50 a month. You get 4 episodes. 2 of our sister podcast, What's So Great About, where we are at the moment discussing 90s action movies. Andy's has curated a lovely little smorgasbord of a lot of different types of action movie. And we've had a lot of fun digging into them.
Absolutely.
And the other 2 weeks are basically kind of random topics. That it's a free-form jazz set, I like to say, you know?
Yeah.
Like, if you like a jazz set tonight, you know?
If you like us and you'd like to hear us talking about non-Simpsons things, that's
unfettered.
Where it all...
We don't have the structure of the show.
Unshackled.
Yeah. We don't have the railing to hang on to. We go all over the place.
We're in the deep end.
Yeah. Without our armbands on.
It's a lot of fun, I have to say.
And life-threatening. So, you know, that's where all the good stuff is happening. If you sign up over there... $5 a month, €4.50. Who knows what it is in pounds? So that's a good way you can help support us. You can also actually, Andy was talking about our merch. You can find all that on our Instagram as well if you're into humour. Yeah. For getting a t-shirt or a key ring. They're great key rings, I have to say.
They are good. I should send you one, actually, Terry.
I've been waiting. I've been waiting,
man. Send me your address again.
Again, every time with this.
I'm genuinely annoyed now about those keyrings falling out of the envelopes. I'm sorry.
Use better envelopes.
I will use better envelopes and I will get keyrings to all.
You're like
of
George
you.
Picking the fucking the cheapest.
So straight to the back of the book.
The glue. Another way you can help support the podcast is by giving us a rating or review. Now, Homer only lasted one round in this week's episode, and I'm only looking for one review, one kind of review. 5 stars, guys. We need those 5 stars. If you give us a 5-star review on Apple, preferably, it really helps get the podcast out there, get more people getting their ears on it, because, like, when we get the reviews, you see the movement on the charts for us there, and you see that, like, you just start popping up on other people's feed. You can tell a friend as well, you know. Tell a friend.
Sure. Tell a friend. We're going to sit here right now. Pick up your phone. Yeah. Pick up your phone and tell 3 friends.
Yeah.
We'll wait.
I mean, I'm not, you know, podcasting without my Danish.
Try and
And, you know, so that would be a big help. A rating or review, you know, always goes a long way. Now, you've also helped us regardless. If you made it this far, you've helped us regardless by listening to the podcast. Now,
really is the least you can do.
It's the free way to do things. You don't actually have to do anything bar just listen.
If you're here, we love you.
Yeah. Well, I like you. I like you.
I love you.
I like you.
Anyway.
I mean, who like? I mean, I like you too. Like?
All of us.
Like?
Oh.
You passed the test.
Oh, was that in Tenacious D?
Yeah.
Yeah, very good. We will be back next week with Burns, Baby Burns.
Hey, who am I talking to here?
I've never seen a place with a walk-in mailbox. So that'll
be
fun.
Oh, and I stepped on one of your peacocks. I can't fucking wait, to be honest.
Excellent. This is the one that Bill Oakley said is the only one that they did that they didn't write the character first.
They wrote this Rodney Dangerfield
analogue
into the show.
When they seen he wanted to be involved.
Perfect.
Yeah,
perfect.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
So, thanks for joining us this week, and we'll be back fresh as a daisy next week with that one. And until then, have a wonderful week out there.
Yeah.
Why can't we? matter how your mind is. I know.